Thank the Lord for the privilege to be in Guthrie this evening. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness. I see a couple of faces that probably don't know who I am. So my name is Damar Randall, and I am from the Pacoima, California congregation. I thank the Lord for the privilege to be here. I also want to thank the saints in Guthrie for your hospitality. I know it's been said already, but this was my first minister's meeting, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank the Lord for what I got in the meeting, but also I thank the Lord for the wonderful food that was prepared, the wonderful, beautiful decorations. It was really a wonderful treat, so definitely thank you all for that. I have a small little thought, a brief exhortation, and I say brief on purpose. desire that you all would be praying. I was thinking about, there's a song in our songbook, number 52. I love to serve my Jesus, a privilege so sublime, my life afresh with beauty bright, sparkling all the time. Mid scenes that are unfading of rapture and of bliss, transported I am soaring, and my Savior's righteousness. I love to serve my Jesus, he's all in all to me. He helps me bear each burden, he is my victory. When you consider the words of that song compared with the words that we just sang about had it not been, really puts things into perspective of what the Lord did for us. When we consider his willingness to have condescended down to a fallen world, when we consider that he was willing to pay such a high price for our souls, it makes us want to serve him. It makes me want to serve him. It really puts things into perspective, and I like to write titles on the board, so I am also not a good speller, so if I spell this wrong, somebody please correct me. Does that look right to you guys? Priority. It looks right to me. I have a high school degree, that's all. Have you ever heard somebody say that your priorities are not in the right place? I have a relative. She and I graduated the same year from high school, and I wanted to start working. I was not interested in going to college. I was not interested in those things. I went straight into the work world. She, however, went to California State University of Long Beach. My cousin went down there, and she graduated in what's supposed to be 4 years. Had I taken the same route, it probably would have taken me 6 years. She's just very smart. And I, while I'm smart in other ways. You kind of know your place. Those of us that didn't go to college and those that went to college, you know, that was something that was for you. But for me, it was going out into the work world. Well, my cousin, she went to college, and she graduated in 4 years with her bachelor's in forensic science. That sounds pretty up there. It's a very, she did a lot of time spent into her education. I went to the work world. My cousin now, 4 years after, has graduated, and she spends all of her time enjoying life. 4 years in college, and all she does is enjoy life. I'm still in the work world. She goes out with her friends. She indulges in partying and things of that nature. And I was talking with my aunt and uncle about my cousin's decisions, and she was going, they were saying, she did all this work. She spent 4 years in college, and now she has nothing but a piece of paper to show that she went to college. All of that 4 years, she's allowed herself, because she graduated a few years ago, she's allowed herself to just flush that degree down the drain and does nothing with it. That would be the definition of somebody who has their priorities mixed up. As we all know, life costs money. I flew here. It cost me money to be able to travel here. We all have cars. It costs money to fill up a car. I don't know about you guys, I would assume so, but I like a nice roof over my head. I don't do well in the cold. If you saw me last month when I was here, I was quite bundled up because I like to be warm. In my home, my heat works. I make sure all my bills are paid. But for some reason, this relative of mine has allowed her priorities to just go down the drain. It's a very sad situation. And there are many people that, when we consider what's important to us, and you look and you're like, you might want to consider something else, that there's something more important. One of the most important things, and we see people do away with it all the time, is the priority of our souls. That is the most important thing. When we consider that at the end of life, the only thing that we're going to have, that we're going to be able to take with us, is our soul. The only thing in this life, that's what matters the most. Every day that I go to work, I have to make sure that I'm dressed properly, that I have my proper equipment. It's a priority that I dress properly for my job. Most of you know what I do, so you understand that. It's important that I dress the way that I'm supposed to dress. It's a priority to me. It's what guarantees my safety at work and guarantees that I'm going to go home at night. Well, our souls are continually in our hands, and we have a priority. I want to talk about a particular person in Scripture. It's just one person, like I said, brief. A small exhortation, but there's so much for us to consider when we consider this person. Understand that as I mentioned, I go to work every day, many of us do, that's something that's very important. But our soul is of utmost importance. So in Luke, the 10th chapter, we find the story of one person. Well, there's two people involved. Three, if you considering the Lord. Luke 10 and 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Two people here, and two different things that were priorities. Martha saw that she had a house full of guests, and that there were some things that needed to be done in order to prepare for those guests. Martha spent her time cleaning and cooking and things of that nature. That's important. We don't see in the scripture where Jesus said, you know what, Martha, you're concerned about things that don't matter. Because they do matter. Again, every day I go to work. That's something that is important. I have to be able to provide for, I don't have a family, so I got to be able to provide for myself. But those of you that have families, you have a responsibility to provide for your family. Martha took the time. She was providing. She's providing care. I have all these people. I need to tend to this. Did he discredit her? Mary, she saw an opportunity. She saw that there was a greater priority here. There's two priorities, but one here was of utmost need to be prioritized. And that was where she was, to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. We have a song that says, sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Mary realized that one of these days, I'm going to go out into eternity. I think about the time when the disciples, when Jesus spoke to the disciples and he told them to eat my flesh, I believe it was, and drink my blood. And some of them said, this is a hard saying. How can I? And what happened after that? I might be mixing up. Forgive me if I am. But what was said after he told them that? Some of them went away and walked no more with them. But there were some that stayed back. And what did they say? Lord, where shall I go? You have the words to eternal life. I'm going to prioritize my soul. Because again, one of these days, each and every one of us are going to have to stand before the Lord. And there's only one thing that we're going to be able to show him. And that is, I've taken good care of my soul. I've done this for my soul. I've been found sitting at your feet. There was one day that I was at work and I got ordered to work a double. It's Saturday night. I'm supposed to get off at 10 o'clock. I got ordered to work an extra shift. It's Saturday. I got to go to church in the morning. You could try your best to try to sweet talk the sergeant, let me go home. And no, you got to stay. When I got off of work that morning at 6 a.m., I live an hour from the campground, I had to consider, I'm tired, I want to go to sleep, but I want to be in the house of the Lord. Now, again, we're not praising Mary, not praising Damar, praising anybody else that makes those sacrifices, but we have to come to the place to where we realize what's of most important to us. I had to come to the decision as I was preparing to leave my job. I said, now I can go home, crawl in bed, get 2-3 hours of sleep, get up, have enough time to drive. It's an hour's drive from where I am to the chapel. I said, you know what? That's dangerous. That's dangerous. I get home, I fall asleep, and I'm out, and there's no waking me up. I decided, Lord, I'm tired, but I'm going to drive to the campgrounds right now. At 6 o'clock in the morning, I happen to have clothes in the vehicle because usually on Saturday nights, for the same reason, I try to drive to the campgrounds that night. That way I'm on time for church in the morning. So I said, you know what? I'm going to drive down right now. I'm tired. You know, the enemy likes to come along and he'll tell you, you know, you're tired. You don't have to drive down. You were there last Sunday. You went Wednesday night. You know what? Take thy ease and be at rest. And that's really what I wanted to do. But do you know that there is a victory that comes, a power that comes when we overcome the enemy and when we prioritize the things of God in our life? I got in the car and I started down the drive. And it was so easy. My job is only 2 minutes from my house. It's so easy to just turn. But there it was. I just drove right by. And it seemed like the minute that I drove past the street I was supposed to turn, the Lord gave me strength. There is a need for each and every one of us as we go through life to prioritize the things of God over ourselves. To prioritize sitting at his feet. Now, understand, I understand we need rest. I'm not saying that we just get to burn both ends and the Lord just going to give us. No, I understand what I mean. But there is a need for us to realize what's of most importance. What's the most important thing to me? Again, at the end of the day, when the Lord returns, I'm going to have one thing, and that's my soul. Again, Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. So Mary sat there at the feet of Jesus, hearing what he had to say. I don't know what the message is, but think about the times that we've been in services. Think about the times that we have pressed out, and maybe we've been battling the enemy that week. And then you come and you get that boost of encouragement. The word, again, the words of eternal life. You get that which is so needful, that which is so necessary for your soul. And there is a blessing, again, when we press out. I remember Brother Paul had told us a story of a person in their congregation there in Wichita that he grew up with. Person says, I've heard the church preach on this, and they've taught on this, and we've all heard people say, but I've never heard this subject. Brother Paul says, I heard that subject preached. We never know what we're going to miss. It might be the exact thing that we need to help us make it to heaven. That burden, that trial that we're going through, it might be found in our pressing out. Now, where else can we sit at the feet of Jesus? Public worship is important. He says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some are. And we look around and we see, it would be beautiful to see these seats filled. It would be beautiful. I go to church there in Pacoima, as I said, and our sign says 295 can sit in there, and yet it's just filled with 20. But it's not just amongst the saints I have found. I've gone to my family's church, and their pews are just as empty. But where else do we have the opportunity? In our personal, private devotions, spending time with him. He said, Paul wrote to Timothy, study to show thyself approved. No, that wasn't Paul, that's Proverbs. Is it Paul? Okay. And then I'm thinking there's another where he told Timothy to be an example of the believer in word, in deed. I believe there's a part that says in doctrine. Well, how am I going to learn the doctrine? How am I going to get to understand the things of God if I don't sit at his feet, if I don't take time, if I don't take the priority? I remember that when I was working at the nursing home, I was trying to, my devotional life was not the best. And I was trying to find ways, Lord, I need to spend more time with you. I'm failing. I come in from work and I go crawl in the bed and I pull out my Bible and I start to read it on my phone. And next thing you know, I'm on Facebook. Next thing you know, I'm on Instagram or surfing the internet on Amazon, buying something that I don't need. Lord, what are some ways for me to sit at your feet and not have the distractions? The Lord told me, first things first, get out of your bed. Go to the living room. Get uncomfortable. Go sit in a chair in the living room. And you know, that little bit of overcoming my own comfortability, prioritizing the things of God, brought much richness. It brought much understanding because I started reading and it was like the words were jumping off the page and ministering to my soul. That's our priority. That ought to be our priority. To consider, again, one of these days, I'm going to step out into eternity. I'm only going to have one thing, and that's my soul. Thou hast the words of eternal life, Lord. Lord, what do you have for me? Is that how we come to service? Lord, what is it that you'd have for me? We hear it prayed. Lord, bless the preach word and let it to be, let it fall on good ground. Let it soak deep in, because again, one of these days I'm going to step out into eternity. It's very important. We consider there are other people in the scriptures that did not realize how important their souls were. The rich young ruler came to him and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What the Lord say? "Do this, do that, follow these." I've done that. Check, check, check. I'm good. Well, one thing. Do we realize? Do we really realize that it's just one thing that can hinder our souls from making it into heaven? One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell what thou hast. He went away. He called the realtor and said, "Okay, I need you to come over here. I got some things. I have great riches. What do you..." No, I can't. These things are too important to me. He had misplaced priorities. May the Lord help us that as we go along life's way, that we realize what the true priority is. Once again, I'm going to die. I'm going to face a righteous judge. He's going to judge me fairly. He's not going to, you know, be unfair in his judgment. But I have to make sure that I'm in line. I have to make sure that I have prioritized spending time studying, being with him, sitting at his feet. Mary said, "You know what? The dishes, the thing, all that stuff can wait till after. But right now, there's one here who is bringing forth the words of life, letting me know that, you know what? Has the Lord ever come down and said, you know, you're headed this direction. I need to shift you just a bit. You're almost veering off path. Or maybe there's some doctrine that you've been wrestling with and you're trying to understand and you've been studying the scriptures and you go to a place and the Lord comes down and he says, this is it. This is where the victory lies for you. You want the understanding? Here it is right here. But you know, we miss those times when we choose to prioritize other things. I've had occasions where I wanted to go somewhere one time, and I went. I went out with some friends and some relatives, and realized that there was a relative that was coming from out of state and going to be at my grandmother's house. Oh, I haven't seen this person in years, but they'll be there when I get back. Have you ever had that happen? They'll still be there when I get back. Well, what happens when you get back? They're gone. They had another stop to make. They had other places to be. We have to realize where our priorities are. We have to realize what is of utmost importance. Once again, I can't stress it enough. We have an enemy of our souls. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's watching us to see where are your priorities really. What is going to be the one trap that I could set, the one trick that I can throw out your way to get you to go off this way instead of going to church? Is it a nail in your tire? Is it a little sickness? Is it you're tired? I've been there. Been that time where, you know, it's time for service and you're like, I'm just wore out. I can't. You know what? I'm a press out. I'm a press out. And what do we find? I don't know about anybody else, but I have found victory there. May the Lord help us to realize that, again, we've heard it said down through the ages, it's written in scripture, that the Lord is coming. The writers, I believe the apostles, said they thought it was going to be in their day. We've heard some of our forefathers think it was going to be in their day. And yet, here it is, 2024. But you know what? Even though he hasn't came yet, he's still coming back. He's going to come back for each and every one of us. Whether or not that means that he's coming back for us collectively as the world, or whether he's coming back individually, one of these days, each and every one of us, Scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die. There is an appointment that each and every one of us, you might not think it's a priority, but that's one appointment you're not going to miss. I had a dentist appointment, and I don't feel like going. I just can cancel it, or I'll pay the cancellation fee. It's just $5. But this is one appointment that it's going to cost us our soul. And it takes us realizing this is of utmost priority. Mary spent that time. She was willing to sit at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear him say. What is the next part? Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there every other day. I want to be found there every day. I want to be walking with him at every moment of my day as I go through life. Because why? He's important to me. It's important. He was willing. Again, when we consider if somebody came and handed you $1 million, no strings attached, no requirements, I'm just giving you money, would you not feel indebted to them? I wish I could find that person because I could use some funds, but you'd feel indebted to them. This person came and they gave me a gift, and I thank you every time I see you. It'd be 20 years down the road, but I still want to thank you for what you've done for me way back when. Do we realize the price that was paid when the Savior was willing to come down? When he was willing to bear our sins on him? When he was willing to be beaten, brutalized? Scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was willing to go through all of this. And does he come back and say, now you owe me? Oh, Brother Ivan, you remember, you put me up there, you better come. No, he doesn't do that. When we consider the price, the sacrifice, the willingness, when we consider the stress that it said that as he was praying, the sweat came out as drops of blood. He was willing to do all of this. Brutalize his own creation. Slapping him. Beating him. Put him on the cross, nailing him in his hands and piercing him in his side. His own creation did that. Not just his own creation, the very ones he were dying for. When I consider that, when I consider the price that he paid for me, the debt that I owe, it becomes my priority. It becomes my obligation. But you know what it becomes even more? As Psalm 52 says, it becomes my privilege to be able to sit at his feet. I'm so thankful that he's willing to come and minister to me. I'm so thankful that he's willing to come down and open up his word to me. You know, he doesn't come and well, Lord, I'm coming to you. I don't want to talk to you. You remember what you did. You know, there are people that way. You don't get to talk to me. You did this and that on that date. It could have been I have somebody right now that I said something to them at work, and it's been over a year, and they still don't want to talk to me over something small. A year's time. There are people that the Lord didn't say, oh, no, I don't want to talk to you. You did this to me. No. But yet he was willing. He's willing for each and every one of us to come. Once we realize this is my priority, may the Lord help each and every one of us to take a closer evaluation of our lives. Am I prioritizing him? Am I putting him above the dishes? Am I putting him above hosting whatever function is going on? Am I putting him over my workload? Am I putting him over how I feel? May the Lord help each and every one of us to, again, realize my soul is continually in my hands. I have a responsibility. I have a priority. I don't want to be like some of these other ones that, again, 4 years. 4 years of school, day and night, preparing for tests, preparing for getting homework and projects done, and a job well done, graduated top of our class. It felt really good to be there in the crowd at that graduation because, well, there's my family name being posted on the screen and there's my cousin's picture. Very important. But then you look at the after. What all did that get us? That didn't get us more money in our family. That just, the efforts led to shame because of some misplaced priorities. May the Lord help each and every one of us as we go along that we constantly reevaluate our priorities, that we constantly re-look over my life. Again, we have a song that says, "My soul, be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise." I have to, what are my priorities? Is there anywhere that I'm allowing to be unguarded? Is there anywhere that the enemy can slip in because I've not done what I'm supposed to do? That's my prayer. May the Lord help each and every one of us. You pray for me.